In the name of Jesus, amen. Temptation comes, that's for sure. You can't avoid it. If you stay away from one thing because you don't want to be tempted by something that's there, you're going to be tempted by something else. You will find temptation wherever you go. For example, if you avoid the bar because you want to avoid alcohol and decide to go to a diner, you're going to be tempted from alcohol by gluttony. They make the best pies in those small diners. You just can't avoid temptation. Because even if you locked yourself away in a room with nothing on the walls, still the sins from your past would call to you, and you would daydream about how great it was when you were allowed to do the very things that you are now hiding from. So the question is, what is temptation's goal? Speaking of its interworkings, James tells us, "Blessed it is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." Let's stop right there. The person who remains steadfast is blessed. The goal is to remain. But remain where? Well, Luther noted in the third petition that God's will was to break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and also to strengthen and keep us firm in his word and faith until we die. God's will is to keep us close to him through faith in Jesus, who is made known to us through his word. So the words keep, remain are central. And these words sound very similar to what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." So to summarize all this, the goal is to remain steadfast, which simply means after the Holy Spirit has brought you to faith in Jesus through the preaching of the gospel, stay there. It's as simple as that. Stay there. James continues his description of temptation in this way: "Let no one say that when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." When we would say God tests us, but his testing is to bring us closer to him. Temptation desires something else. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see, temptation lures and entices. And it takes us away from where we are. You were brought to faith in Christ, and in Christ you have forgiveness of sins. You have everlasting life. It's actually yours from this day forward. This you were bought at a price by the blood that was shed for you. In your baptism, Jesus united himself to you. He made you a new creation. You are his. You're together with him, abiding in him. Temptation desires to take you away from him. It uses your desires against you to lead you away from Jesus into death. It's not so much about the act itself. It's not so much about just drinking too much or eating too much or whatever it is, whatever kind of temptation you have. It's not just about doing those things. Even if you don't do those things and he takes you away from Jesus, he will have been successful. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, we are praying that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures would not deceive us or mislead, take us away, mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. You see, the Holy Spirit called us to faith in Jesus by the gospel. And through Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead, we know this: God loves me, and he forgives me. He has led us out of despair, out of shame, out of vice. Where? Right into him. We are branches grafted into the vine in our baptism. We're connected. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh want to lead us off of the vine, back into unbelief, back into despair, and back into shame, ultimately to death. Jesus has us pray that God, through his word and sacraments, would rather cause us to abide, that is, stay with Jesus. In our Old Testament lesson, we see Joseph. We read, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. This led his master to put Joseph in charge of everything that he had, and he worried about nothing. But what I want you to notice is not the success or the failure of Joseph, but rather where he stood. We read twice in the first two sentences, and we read all 39 sentences, we heard it a lot more. The Lord was with Joseph. By the word of the promise that Joseph received, he was brought into a place where he was with the Lord, or rather, the Lord was with him. And Joseph desired to stay with the Lord, to abide in that place where the Lord had brought him. In other words, he wanted to remain in the promise that ultimately was pointed to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, as we noted before, no matter where we are, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh want to try to take us away to false belief, despair, and shame and vice. This is no different for Joseph. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife caught her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." That means she wanted to have sex with him. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of my master, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, that he has put me in charge of. He is not greater than I in the house, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice that ultimately a sin against Joseph's neighbor, in this case a sin against his boss, was a sin against God. The temptation was to take him away from God. The temptation was to no longer abide in the promise of Jesus with the life and salvation that he brings. It was rather to embrace sin and the death that it brings. Joseph resisted the temptation to the point that Potiphar's wife couldn't stand it anymore. See, she was tempted the same. She finally stole one of Joseph's cloaks and cried out to the soldiers, ultimately, that Joseph had raped her. And as soon as Joseph's masters heard the words that his wife spoke to him, he took Joseph and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. It's important to notice something here. Joseph stayed with Jesus, and it led him to suffering. But ultimately, it should also be noted the rest of the story, that through Joseph's suffering, the Lord would put him in a place where Joseph would be able to keep his brother Judah alive. This was in the midst of a great drought and famine. And through the man Judah would come King David. And ultimately, through King David, would come the man who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And this Jesus would die for the sin of the world, including the sin of Joseph, David, Judah, and the sin of everyone in this room. So yes, Joseph suffered for abiding in Christ, but ultimately God would use that suffering out of his love for the entire world to bring about our salvation through the greater suffering of Jesus. Even though Joseph suffered in prison, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph abided, and where did he abide? When you get to the end of John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in my love." Joseph abided in the Lord's love. And Jesus has us pray, "Lead us not into temptation." We're asking God to guard and keep us so that we would remain with him in his grace. And for how long do we pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? Until our Lord delivers us from evil. When we pray, "Deliver us from evil," we pray in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body, soul, possessions, and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, graciously take us from this valley of sorrow, from this suffering, to himself in heaven. In other words, in the last petition, we pray that at the last, Jesus would take us to heaven. We want to abide with him in the midst of this world, where all manner of things try to take us away from him, until that day when we are home and that last temptation falls away. And then in eternity, we continue to abide with the one who shed his blood that we would be free. In Jesus, our hope is set. In him, our hope is secure, and in him we sing the song of Simeon. Upon receiving him, we understand that this world can offer us nothing that brings us the peace that we get from knowing Jesus. When Simeon saw God's promise fulfilled in flesh and blood, he took that infant Jesus up in his arms and he sang, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes seen thy salvation," as he's holding that little baby, "which thou hast prepared for the salvation of the entire world, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon was saying, with Jesus, I can die in peace. It's not just let me depart the church service in peace. I'm ready to depart this life. I've received the Lord. And we sing this same song with the same meaning when we receive Jesus in the Lord's Supper. And we sing this song at the close of the day. If you ever use the office of daily prayer, it uses this song. And we sing this song at the end of a person's life. Our funeral liturgy has this song. Because of Jesus, we have peace. And Lord, keep us in this peace. Lead us not into temptation until that day when you deliver us from evil. Amen. And by having us say amen at the end of the prayer, Luther notes that Jesus is telling us that I should be certain that all of these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. He himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. And now I pray the peace that comes from knowing Jesus would guard and keep you until that day when he returns to deliver you. Amen.